Genesis chapter number 2, going through our basic training lessons, and we'll be looking at the subject of marriage today. The institution that God gave us of marriage, of the home. Next week we'll conclude our basic training lessons on the subject of the family. Now I know this, in our adult Sunday school class in here, we have quite a few different family dynamics represented, from some that are single, some that are married, and some that are widowed, and of different dynamics. So I just want to give you a challenge today of what does the Word of God teach us about the home, what that means for us, and how to apply that. We're going to focus on marriage today. Next week will be about the family, and that will apply a little more to everyone because of the different dynamics. And so if you'd help me with that. Genesis chapter number 2, and looking at verse number 18. Genesis chapter 2, and verse number 18, we'll read down to the end of the chapter. This, of course, we see creation listed here in the previous chapter. And then now God has given instruction for Adam, and then God is now giving Eve to Adam, and this first family that God is forming. Genesis 2, verse 18, it says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them into Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him." You see that phrase used another time here in regards to Adam not having a wife, an helpmeet. And it says in verse 21, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." God instituting the home. As you see here, that God gave to Adam and put him in the garden and told him to keep the fields and naming the animals. But for Adam, there wasn't an helpmeet for him. There wasn't a spouse. There wasn't someone for him to commune with, to help with, to serve with. And so God took Adam and put him in a deep sleep and took one of his ribs and formed Eve. She was called woman and taken out of man. The Bible says in verse number 24, "There shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." What a beautiful picture of what marriage is. And let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll look at some more subjects about this this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this blessed morning. Help us, Lord, to learn from your word about what marriage is and also looking at what it isn't. And Lord, how to have a happy and a healthy and a godly marriage. Pray that you bless our homes and help everyone here represented with their homes today. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. We've looked in previous weeks about different subjects of our basic training. If I can go back an introduction for a moment, looking at the subject of salvation. Salvation, that foundation of our Christian life, of knowing that you're a child of God, and your life is being built upon Jesus Christ and on the Word of God, knowing, first of all, that you're a child of God, and that once you're saved, that you're building your life on the Word of God. You can build your life on your own thinking, on the world's philosophies. None of those will last. But when you build your life based on the Word of God, on the Word of God when it comes to salvation, when it comes to the subject of salvation, and the Bible, and of giving, and of the church, and soul winning. We could cover a number of other areas in regards to some basic instruction for a Christian, but are you building your life on the Word of God? Every husband, every wife, every spouse, every child, are you building your life on the Word of God, of what God has commanded for us to do? That's where God's blessing is. This weekend, of course, in a way, it's kind of fitting that we teach on the subject of marriage because this weekend was Valentine's Day. There were many cards exchanged, many gifts that were given, Valentine's bought, maybe a special dinner shared with another, and there's your love shown or expressed to another. In marriage, that's such a beautiful picture of the love that you have dedicated to your spouse for life. I was out yesterday, and I was in the store grabbing a couple things, and I found the best Valentine's gift. I should have put it on a picture and showed you. And the gift that I found that I think that everyone should probably start sharing for Valentine's, it was a ribeye steak shaped like a heart. A heart-shaped ribeye steak. I took a picture and sent it to my brother-in-law, my dad, and I was like, this has got to be the best Valentine's gift. And I think it was filleted open and it was heart-shaped. I was like, that's beautiful. Right? Men and women share their love and show their love differently. The ladies like the flowers and the chocolates. I like the chocolates too. And the ladies like the cards and all the stuff. The guys are like, just give me a good meal, right? A good ribeye steak, and I'm happy. That's how you can really share your love. Men are very simple, ladies, if you didn't realize that. But Valentine's a very special time about sharing your love with the person that God has chosen for you for life. 21 years ago, I told my wife I loved her on Valentine's weekend. She's shaking her head no. Not because she doesn't love me. She doesn't want me to tell you this story. I won't go into that today. But 21 years ago, the Lord was bringing my wife and I together, and we were in college, and told her that I loved her, and we got married. I mean, we dated for almost a whole year before we got married. It was a long time. But the Lord placed us together, and she is the love of my life, and God has given her to me. And I'm very thankful and very blessed. Again, looking around the room, we have a number of different family dynamics. And so I understand for some, it's more of a difficult subject if a spouse is in heaven or maybe the dynamic that God has given to you. But let's look at what the Word of God says about the subject of marriage. Why is this important for us today, for everyone? First of all, we need to understand what the Bible says and what the Bible teaches. No matter our phase in life, our stage, and our relationships, what does the Word of God say in the subject of marriage? If you haven't noticed, the world has a lot to say about this subject, don't they? Whole lot to say about the subject of marriage. Many people today don't get married, they just live together. Divorce is actually declining because people aren't getting married. You know, why get married? It's easier just to live together and not commit to marriage and then get divorced later and have to split the things up. And so the world is kind of taught, what's the importance of marriage? Just, you know, you can have it all without making a commitment to each other. So many don't even get married. Today getting married and ending in divorce. I'm not trying to hurt people in this subject that is affected your life, but that is what the world sees. It's commonplace today. It's just commonplace that I flip the coin on that actually and say it's so uncommon to find someone that's been married for decades. And when you find someone that's married 30, 40, 50, 60 years, what a blessing that is. What a great testimony and example that you choose to stick with someone for better or for worse, till death do us part. For some of you, that's been the case, and what a blessing of being faithful to your spouse and till the Lord took them home to heaven. Many today have perverted the definition of what marriage is. It's attacked. I don't care what the world says and what they define it as and what laws they make. Marriage is still marriage based on the Word of God, one man, one woman for life. That's what marriage is. Now, people can come together and the state or the government may honor that marriage. That's not marriage in the sight of God, right? A man and a man, a woman and a woman, that's perversion. That is not as God intended. We should never accept sin in the disguise of kindness and acceptance. That's what the world teaches today. Well, kindness and acceptance, let's just have a conversation. I'm not against having a conversation, but truth is still truth. Right is still right. God is still God. And God has defined what marriage is, and then on the same side, what it isn't. It doesn't matter what man wants to define it is and what laws are made. Marriage is marriage in the sight of God. And that doesn't mean that we need to have hatred towards people. God has hatred towards sin, but he loves every single person. But this is something that's going to continue to grow in our society, unfortunately, with people just walking away from God and living lives of perversion outside of the will and the plan of God. But kindness is not accepting of sin. You can love people, but not love the sin that they do. That's what God does, right? He loves the sinner, but doesn't accept the sin that they do. That's what the world wants us to do. I love how there's free speech in the world until the free speech is against your conservative point of view. That's not free speech then, okay? And I love how that they like to flip the coin on that. Let me give you a few challenges today about the subject of marriage and how you can apply that to your life. And I want to give you a couple of thoughts about this. First of all is this, that marriage was a plan of God. It wasn't the plan of man. It's not that man came up and said, you know, Adam said, you know, let me make a wife. Let me define what marriage is. No, the plan of marriage was given by God. As you see in your passage here, that God saw Adam in verse 18. He said, it's not good that man should be alone. And God said, I will make an helpmeet for him. And down in verse number 20, the Bible says, and Adam, but in the end of the verse, but for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. So God put Adam in a deep sleep and took one of his ribs. And verse 23, Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And then you see that God's plan was this in verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. That means that you're not supposed to live at home for the rest of your life. You're supposed to leave home at some point and cleave to your spouse. And the Bible says, and they shall be one flesh. That was God's plan for mankind. You know, God wants a relationship with man, with woman. God wants a relationship with you, but God has also designed and given to us the plan that you would have fellowship with your spouse. That God has created someone for you to spend your life with. That's the plan of God. Not only is the plan of God, it's a gift of God. You know that anything that God makes is perfect. God's plan is always best. And when you go outside of God's plan, then there's corruption, there's perversion there. That's what the devil's been doing since the beginning of time. Perverting the word of God and trying to pervert what the church is and what marriage is and the home and all of that. But marriage is a gift from God. If God has given you a spouse, thank the Lord for the spouse that God has given to you. If God has given you a spouse that maybe is in heaven, thank the Lord for this spouse that God gave to you. What a gift and a treasure that is to have that as your memory and of your heritage. Marriage is a gift from the Lord. It's a precious gift that God gave to mankind, and God gave instruction to man and woman. Look back, if you will, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 27. Genesis 1 and verse number 27, so God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So God not only made man and woman, made it in the image of God, but in verse 28, he gave instruction to them, and God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. That God made man and woman and gave instruction for them to come together for life, one flesh, and then instruction of the reproduction that God has given as a gift to the married couple. Let me give you a few challenges today on the subject of marriage. First one is this, marriage takes two. Marriage takes two. That's very simple, but the Bible says that the Bible says in verse number chapter 2, verse number 22, and he took of the rib, and he made, taken from man, he made a woman, and brought her unto the man. It says, this is bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh, shall she be called woman, because she was taken of man. Therefore shall man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be, what's the next two words? One flesh. That's when two become one. It's not separate, it's one. That God takes two and puts them together to make a home. a choice that God has given to you in coming together with your spouse, for a husband and a wife coming together. You realize there must be two willing parties to have a godly and a happy marriage. Now you say, well, I'm saved and my spouse is not. Well, God has still given you responsibilities. We'll look at those in a little bit. God has still given you responsibilities for your part in your marriage. But God's intention for a happy and a godly, wonderful home is for a husband and a wife coming together for life. You understand this, that the only perfect marriage ever known is by Adam and Eve. They did not know sin in their marriage at the beginning, and there was a time where the fall of man and they sin and were cast out of the garden, and the destruction that came to their family so soon after that. A husband and a wife coming together, that it takes two to make a marriage work. But whether or not your spouse does their part, you're required to do your part. So many times in a home or in a marriage, you just say, well, if they would do their part, our home would be happy. If they would just pick up their clothes. If you haven't figured it out, men, the clothes go in the laundry hamper, not next to the laundry hamper, right? Somehow they magically get cleaned. I saw this video a long time ago, and this man says, he goes, it's amazing. He goes, I come home and my clothes were on the ground, and when I come home, they're gone. And they somehow get cleaned and they end up in my drawer. It's a miracle. He said, I put a dirty dish in the sink and I come back later and it's clean and it's put away in the cabinet. He goes, it's a miracle. And he leaves things there. Guys, that's not the way it's supposed to go. If you didn't figure that out, the miracle is your wife cleaned up after you. Don't make your wife do that. She's not your slave. She's not your servant. She's your wife. Serve your wife, not have her serve you. Amen? Amen. There you go. But it's amazing how God created you for each other. That God made the husband for the wife and the wife for the husband. I believe that God has intended and planned that God had for you to marry your spouse before you were even created. That God had a plan for you for your life. God not only created you for each other, He gave responsibilities to each other. We'll look at those here in a little bit. Marriage, first of all, it takes two. But next of all, marriage takes work. You realize that? That takes work. It's anything in life, it takes work for it to be right. All right? Your home, it takes work. Your car takes work. Your job, it takes work. Every relationship you have, it takes work. It doesn't, things left in their natural state are not getting better, they're getting worse, right? Things get dirtier, they get corrupted, they get away from God. Your relationships in your life, they take work. Your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with God takes work. With your children, it takes work. You have to work for things to be right. They don't just naturally get better on their own. Kind of like you have a health concern, you have a health issue, and you go, oh, I probably should go to the doctor to get this checked out. But you know what? I bet if I ignore it, it'll just go away. Is that a good thing to do? No, it's not a good thing to do. If the Lord is telling you, you need to go to the doctor and your heart or whatever you need, go and get it taken. It's not getting better. It's probably going to get worse. You better get it taken care of. When it comes to your relationships in your life with your spouse, your children, with the Lord, it takes work. It takes work to keep them right or to get them right. Understand this, that your relationships that you have, other than our relationship with God, every other relationship is with two sinners, two imperfect people. Again, how God puts together a man and a woman, as different as could be on the face of the earth, right? We don't see things the same, right? We don't think about things the same. We don't talk the same. We don't act the same. We are so different. But when God puts you together, it's going to take work. You might want to do things differently than your spouse. So what are you going to do? Fight over it? Over the dumb things that don't matter? You know, the simple things of how you roll up the tube of toothpaste or what way the toilet paper goes, or the just the dumb things of life that you argue about. I don't know, for some reason that's what marriage has become, fighting over the dumb things that don't matter. It takes work. Do I want this to ruin my marriage about the toothpaste tube, right? Is it really worth it? Get your own toothpaste tube, right? That's why the Lord gave us, you know, two sinks and a bathroom, right? And we don't have that, but it takes work. You have to work at it. You have to work at you being right, not trying to make your spouse be right. Understand? So many times we're trying to force everyone else to be right in their role instead of working at you being right in your role. It takes work. God made men and women different, but God made you to be together. It takes work. You go through different phases of life. That newly married stage, it's wonderful, but it takes work. You're figuring out for the first time how to live with someone and how to do things and care for them, and it takes work. Parents with young children, it takes work to work on your relationships with each other, with your children. Our grandparent, our empty nesters, it takes work. Different phases and stages of life, it takes work to keep your relationship right. I want to ask you to turn over to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, let's look at a few verses here in Ephesians chapter number 5. God has given responsibilities and roles and duties for each person in the home. Now again, I can spend all my time making sure my spouse fulfills her role, or I can work on me fulfilling my role. You have to decide what you're going to do. We have very much of a wrong view from the world's point of view of what a man should be in a home and what a woman should be in the home. The world is so confused and messed up on what the roles of a husband and a wife and the children are in a home. So don't listen to the world to get your belief structure and your pattern of what to follow. They don't know what they're doing. Look at the world for 2 seconds and understand they don't know what they're doing. Homes are broken today. Have you noticed that? Homes are broken today, messed up. Look at what the Bible says, because God's way is always best. Amen? God's way is always best. So what are the roles that God gives for the husband or wife? Maybe you're not, we have our college-age kids in here. Have your mind, your thinking correct. Say, well, God would have me to be, I'm not saying this for me, for you. Maybe God would say for you, God has for me to be a wife someday. Well, what kind of wife are you going to be? God has for you to be a husband someday. What kind of husband are you going to be? He said, we're just going to get married and figure it out. You better know what you're doing before you get into marriage. You say, well, we love each other. That's great. But are you prepared personally to be the spouse, the man of God, the lady of God that God wants for you to be? If you're not prepared and understand the biblical roles of what a home is, you're not ready to get married yet. Time out, put a pause on that, and prepare that you would have a happy and a godly marriage, not rushing into something early, please. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number, let's go back to verse number 21. Verse number 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Let's skip down to verse number 28. It says, so ought men to love their own wives, love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and they shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This passage we see is the passage, well, let's continue on, I'm sorry, verse number 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. You see that God has given us different instructions specifically for the husband and for the wife. It takes work. That God has given us the example of Christ loving the church, giving his life for the church, as an example for the husband of loving his wife, giving his life for his wife and for his family, and leading his home as he follows Christ. Men, that's your example to follow. That you are to follow the Lord, and as Christ loves the church, you are to love your spouse. That he gave himself for it. See, that's a problem we have today with our homes. That people think, well, my marriage is about what I get out of it. No, your home, your family, your relationships are about what you can put into them. Sacrificing, giving, loving, expecting nothing in return. Now, do any of us have a perfect Christ-like love? No, we don't. But that's the example that the Lord gave to us. For the men to be the leader of the home. For men to love their wives as Christ also loved the church, and he gave himself for it. The Bible says to the wife, for the wife to submit herself unto her own husband as unto the Lord, to love her husband, to reverence her husband. This is what God has shown us in the Word of God. Is that what the world teaches? No, it's not. That is so opposite from what the world says. The world wants to say, well, it's equal power. It's not. There is no such thing as equal power. Can you imagine going to work tomorrow and there'd be two equal bosses? No one's really in charge, and it's whoever yells the most or whoever is at work at that time, and it'll change all the time. No, there has to be someone as the leader in a workplace, just as there needs to be a leader in the home. Christ is our example. He is our leader, and as a husband, following the Lord, loving and leading your home with a Christ-like love. And the wife, that she follows and submits to her husband, following the Lord and her husband, and they submit to the Lord, doing your part. See, that's a godly home, isn't it? That is how God puts together a man and a woman, how you fit together to fulfill God's purpose for your life. Does that all come naturally? No, it doesn't. But that's how you fulfill God's will for your life. It's a commitment. Marriage, first of all, it takes two. Number two, marriage takes work. Number three, marriage takes love. We covered that a little bit already, but marriage takes love. It takes love. So many relationships are, and especially our earthly relationships, we have hurt. We have problems. We have things in the past, things that were maybe not done perfect. It's not making an excuse for those. It's just life, isn't it? It's just life. But marriage takes love. I challenge you to turn over and read on your own 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's the chapter on love or on charity. Look at what love is and what it isn't. The Bible says the greatest of these things, the Bible says, is charity, is love. Your home and your marriage must be built on love. A Christ-like love, first of all, but it must be built on love. Not on fear, not on power, but on love. Is your home built on love? Husband and wife, do you tell your spouse regularly, I love you? Do you regularly, every single day, when you leave their presence to go to work, when you go to hang up the phone, and not like, I love you, and slam the phone down, not that kind of deal, but to tell your spouse, I love you. They need to hear that. Why? Because the world's trying to steal your love in some way. As a spouse, you need to reassure and reaffirm that love to your spouse every single day, not just on February 14th, once a year. If that's the only time of year you bring flowers home or a card or chocolates home, you're missing it, husband or wife. Now again, ladies, it's a heart-shaped ribeye steak, okay? That's how you spell love to a man, all right? but to show your love and to give you love every single day. Love is not only words, but love is an action. You tell your spouse you love them, but show them that you love them as well. How do you do that? Well, that you protect your wife, that you care for her, you treat her like a lady. Again, not as a servant, but as your queen, as your bride, that you open the door for her, that you help her, that you take care of her. Not that you go to work all day and said, I paid the bills, and you come home and, you know, take care of me now. You're not the king of the castle, gentlemen. Amen? I didn't get an amen on that one, all right? God made you the leader of the home, but that you would give in your home, that you would love, that you would give in your home. Marriage, it takes two. It takes work. Marriage takes love. Next one is this: marriage is an example to others. What example are you giving of what it means to be a godly husband and a godly wife? Is that something that your children want to pattern their lives after? That's a humbling thought, isn't it? We have children in the home right now, but we joke about it sometimes, and we say, what are our kids going to make fun of us about someday when they leave the home? You know how that goes, right? My parents used to always, and you joke about it with your siblings or your spouse and the things that your parents did that were funny or annoying or things that you're like, I'm never repeating that one. I do tell the kids, though, the stuff that we do now, you're going to do that later as well. Like, Dad, you're so weird. You're going to do that to your kids as well someday. Just trust me. But do your children or your grandchildren, would you want them to pattern the marriage that you have or the marriage that you had? Would you want them to pattern your example in their lives? Now, there's no such thing as a perfect home. That's a humbling thought as a parent with children in the home. You know, what kind of home and memory are we going to leave for our children someday? The 18 years that they spend in your home and they go out and they live their life with the foundation that you gave them and they make their choices, right? We don't choose our adult children's choices in their life. You train up a child in the way he should go, not the way you make them go, the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. That's their choice. But will they want to pattern the home and the marriage that you showed them? The way that you treat your spouse, do they want that kind of a marriage? The way that you care for them, you love them, that you walk with the Lord. See, a marriage is an example to others, but a marriage, most importantly, it must be built on Christ. A marriage, most importantly, it must be built on God. See, when you walk away from God, you mess up the pattern and the plan of what marriage should be. That God should always be the center of your marriage and of your home. You heard it before, and maybe you've seen it, but it's that triangle principle of God as the point and the center, and then you have the husband and the wife down here on the bottom. The closer you get to the Lord, the closer you get to each other. The more you spend time with God, and you pray, and you get your heart right with God every day, the closer you get to the Lord, the closer you get to each other. Christ must be the center of your marriage and of your home. You must walk with God. You must spend time in prayer. You must get your heart right with God every day. Why? Because you and I, we're not perfect. And all the stuff that we shouldn't do, we need to get right with God every day so that we can be the husbands that we need to be. Ladies, to be the wife that God would have you to be. To make Christ the center of your home and of your life. Is Christ the center? Is Christ the focal point of your home? We'll teach more on the home next week, and some of these points will overlap. But is Christ the center? Do you have a godly home? Do you have a place where Christ is honored and Christ is glorified, and how people are talking, on how we treat each other? Man, how many times is it that the people that we treat the worst are the ones that we live with, that we're the closest to? That shouldn't be the case. Now, we shouldn't treat other people terribly as well, but don't do that to your spouse. Treat them with love. Treat them with care. And again, you made a promise to each other, till death do us part, for better or for worse. Guess what? That better or worse is going to come. isn't it? It's going to come. And you have to make a choice. Did I make a commitment before the Lord for life? Did I make a vow and a promise to God before my spouse, before others, that we would commit each other for life? Not just to survive, but to love and to cherish and to care for that person that God has given to you for life. Are there going to be bumps along the way? Oh, yes. Are there going to be difficulties along the way? Oh, yes. But that's why you keep Christ as the center. Because when the trials come, you keep Christ in the middle, and you say, God, no matter what happens, we're going to draw closer to you. When difficulty comes, we're going to pray, and we're going to get on our knees, and we're going to stay close together before you, Lord, because we want you to direct our home, to direct our marriage, and to direct our lives. What kind of home do you have today? Every relationship, every marriage, it needs work. You say, yeah, my spouse truly needs work. No, you. not the other one. They may, but guess what? You can't change people. But you can change you. So if you draw a circle around yourself and say, God, how can I be a better spouse? How can I be better at the relationship that God has given to me? For our younger folks, that you would have in your mind what it means to have a godly and a Christ-like marriage. To determine right now what kind of spouse that you want to be. Be working towards that. Be prepared. You say, well, I'm not even dating and that's not even in the future. Maybe that's the case, but prepare for the one that God has for you someday. That God would bless your home.